Stay in the Know with Radio 2000 Podcast.
It's 11 minutes after 8 right here on Radio 2000. You're listening to Life, Love and All with me, Mapaseka Mokwele. It is their second hour. All right. So, let me remind you, in the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about, you know, how you're eating, how your body reacts to it or relates to it, or, you know, what happens to your body after you've had, you've eaten certain things, how long can you last with it, what can you do, what can you not do, and we're doing this because we wanted to open you up to different types and different ways of eating different things, and as you eat those different things, what does it mean for your body? How long can you do it? What are the benefits? What are the, you know, we're looking at the pros and cons, basically. Yeah. So we spoke about the very first time we spoke about the alkaline diet. And I remember we had Mpotsebe and we were talking about what you should be eating, what you should not be eating. And of course, that's basically, almost because of the Dr. Sebi movement, and following the Dr. Sebi movement, what Dr. Sebi would advocate for, what you should not be eating, what you should be eating. That was the first session. The second session, we were talking about, we were talking to Professor Tim Noakes and we were talking banting, right? And he was explaining what he thinks, you know, how we should be eating, the background, where we've been, where our bodies have been, and. But remember, everybody's different, right? So you go with what works for you. And we are doing all of this because we're actually going to have an interesting setup where we're going to have, I don't want to say competition, but we're going to have a setup where we have a few people who are doing the alkaline, a few people who are doing the banding, and a few people who are just zonke bonke and doing everything else. I wanted to actually add a few people who are just following a vegan diet, a strictly vegan diet, and see the benefits of that. I think that's another thing that we can add. We can add as a fourth one. Okay. So that said, today we are talking to Azzy Boy, who's a registered dietitian and in private practice. And we want to talk about, guys, you eat everything. Pap makwinya, hot chips, bona. Zonke bonke. You eat this almost every single day. And then some veggies here and there. But you know, the veggies is in the chakalaka when you're having with the pap and meat. Oh, but it's never just nje, right? So let's talk about this. What does that do to your body, and how would it cause poor nutrition? What does it mean? Azwe, how are you?
I'm good, and you, Mabashaka? Thank you for having me.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. So sorry I missed your call. Goodness, why am I saying that? So sorry I missed you last week. You know, actually, let me explain what I mean by that. I've been wanting to add these as one show and then have these discussions so that this one can say, no, this works better for us. And then that one can say, no, this works better for me, you know, and then we can do all of that. But hey, let's hear what you've got for us. Let's talk about nutrition. If I'm eating your makunya, your papa, these are making it sound like they are bad things. They're not necessarily bad things, but fatty foods, your fatty foods, your takeaways. If I'm eating that daily, what should I be expecting of my body?
I just like anyone else, enjoy eating those foods. Like, how can you say no to amagwinya or ikota or whatever it is? Like, those
on a cold day.
On a cold day, having like all those kinds of foods that make us feel warm and make us feel good. But these aren't the kinds of foods we should be having every day. If you're having it every day, I have news for you. You're going to have to change your eating habits, because the main problem isn't necessarily that those foods, you can't have them. It's just how much. When it comes to nutrition, quality and quantity is really important. So you should be looking at the quality of your foods, of your starches, of your proteins, of your fruit and veg. And quality, with quality also comes, how are you cooking it? How are you preparing it? Now, when you look at things like, let's say, slab chips, potatoes in general, if you're having whole potatoes and you're having it with the skin, using very little oil to prepare it, it can be a great source of a variety of different nutrients. There's some fiber in there, there's some different vitamins and minerals. But then when you turn it into slab chips where it's deep fried, you've gotten rid of most of the fiber because it peels off the skin. And you're also, you know, like going to be usually having it with other deep fried foods, then that's where I have a problem, because as much as it's fine to have it once in a while, when you have foods that are high in trans fat, now trans fat is any of your deep fried foods and your takeaways, they are really bad for your heart health, and they increase your risk of various different chronic conditions. So you want to actually incorporate your healthier fats more into your diet than these kinds of trans and saturated fats. And these trans fats and saturated fats are the things that you will find in like ikota or amagwinya, mainly because of the cooking method of deep frying. But you'll also find it in your sausages and any of your processed meats and processed foods. Those are the foods that you must just be aware of that you shouldn't be eating regularly, along with all of your takeaways. So, yeah, I think when it comes to that, yeah, it's not something that I would recommend on a daily.
You know, I think let's maybe start by being honest and accept the fact that, hey man, this properly cooked food is not always nice, eh? I'm not saying it's not good for us. I'm talking monati. You know, the more, or at least the less nutrients there are in a meal, the tastier the meal is. That's so weird and that's so wrong, hey?
Yeah. You know what? I also can definitely relate because, you know, I've had like cabbage, you know, a cup of when it's just like, it's brown and it's tasteless. And, you know, you don't look forward to eating veg that's like that. But you find that a lot of the time, the things that make a meal to be tastier, especially if it's a healthier meal, is how are you preparing it? What are you adding to it? What cooking methods are you using? How long are you cooking it for? Because if you're going to be cooking cabbage until it's brown, you've already lost it. Like, you're not going to enjoy it. You need your veggies to still have that crunch. And
you're killing the veggies.
Different herbs and spices. Yeah, like still have some color in it as well.
Don't just murder the veggies. You know, I always say, cabbage that's like that is already killed. I mean, you've killed everything else that's in it. Now you're just, I don't know what you're having. But there's also that and the amount of sodium, amount of salt that we put into our food or that's in our takeaways, you know? So health-wise, it seems like there's a lot that's not right.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's great that you brought up the salt thing because a lot of us already meet our daily salt needs. So salt is made up of sodium. So our sodium needs on a daily, we shouldn't be having more than about 2.4 milligrams of sodium a day. So that's, when you look at salt, that's about a teaspoon of salt that you shouldn't be having more of in a day.
Okay.
So it's really easy to meet your salt requirements or your sodium requirements without even having added salt. So already we shouldn't be adding that much salt to our food. We should be focusing on other ways to flavor our food. There's so many different ways. There's lemon, there's, you know, the apple cider vinegar, there's your herbs, your spices, garlic, ginger. There's so many other ways that you can still make your food tasty without too much added salt. And I always say, if you're going to add salt, add it once. Have it on the table or add it when you're cooking. Don't add it twice because that's how you have the salt just add up completely. And again, all those processed foods and those takeaways tend to have a lot of salt in them. So also just trying to go for more of your whole foods and your fresh foods rather than your processed foods is something that I would always encourage people to do.
You know, whoever came up with diet things, né? It's the same person who came up with going to school every day. Those people didn't These things are not nice. Guys, it's not nice, this eating. You know, let me tell you, I eat healthy. I do. But I will not lie to you. I miss eating wrong at times. And this is the thing about it, that you can only do it to a certain point. There are days when your body just craves all the wrong things, all of them, all of them. Even
and
when
you
you're
know
good.
It's very true. Like there's days where you really don't feel like eating veg and you don't feel like having, you know,
a smoothie,
kind of little veg stir fry. You just want to have like ipapa and just chakalaka and all these foods that we like. But the thing is now, which is really useful, is a lot of companies are trying to add more nutrients to their products. So, for example, when you look at things like ipapa, there's certain brands that have upped the fiber in it. So before, it used to be quite low in fiber. So fiber is usually what you want to be high in a lot of your starches because it's what makes you feel full. It also is what actually helps to support your gut health. So gut health is one of those things that is very important because I can tell you now, the majority of people have just been living with chronic constipation, and they just think it's a normal thing to go to the bathroom and actually not feel like that level of comfortability afterwards. So it's really great to see that also brands are trying to add more fiber into their food items, at least, especially with something like BAP, because BAP is a food staple, and it's something that I never tell people to cut out of their diet. It goes back to the quantity. So how much BAP are you having on your plate? Are you having a whole plate of BAP, and then you have the veg in the corner, and then you have the big piece of meat or the small piece of meat, you know? You want to make sure that you're adding in the veg there. So a quarter of your plate should be the BAP, and then try and have a half a plate of veg. And like variety, you can do a chakalaka where you make it yourself, because you can make it healthy. You know, grate those carrots yourself, maybe add some peppers in there for some extra vitamin C and fiber. Add some tomato also for vitamin C, extra antioxidants, and also flavor. And then, add your spices and your herbs in there as well. And a lot of them also have anti-inflammatory properties as well. Add those cumin and turmeric and coriander, and you can make a really tasty chakalaka that's healthy, and also cooking it using very low amounts of oil, and make it very enjoyable and still healthier. So I think it goes back to how can you make some of the foods that you enjoy to be healthy also, because to say that you should be eating a salad every day, that's not
it's
a reality,
not practical.
That will make most people happy. It won't make
no it's
happy.
Also just not practical, you know. I want to be able to maintain my weight but still be able to enjoy my life. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And still, so I want to be healthy. I want to maintain my weight, but I want to enjoy my life. And I know that once I go for 2 weeks without cheating on my diet, I'm unhappy. Maybe I'm just a foodie, but I'm totally unhappy. You know, I'm like, I need something that makes that kind of hugs me from the inside.
Exactly.
I can't be the only one.
One thing that people always forget about when it comes to food, because food is one of those things where it makes you feel better. It's what brings us together. You know, when you socialize and you're with friends and family, a lot of the time it's sharing a meal together. And if you're going to be on this restrictive diet where now, you know, you go and visit auntie, and auntie wants to, you know, wants to dish out a plate for you, and you're like, no, not this, not this, not that, it can also just make the dynamics of just your diet very weird. And also, I think it's also a respect thing, you know, feeling like you don't want to disrespect that someone put in the time and the effort to cook a plate and to cook a lunch for you, or whatever the case is. I think when it comes to the diet thing, you know, I think it's okay to be lenient on ourselves, because every now and then we do need to have moments of enjoyment, because that's what brings us together. And you might find that, you know, the reason why you feel good after a lot of meals is because, especially if it's a very carb-rich meal, it's because carbs actually help us to process serotonin, and serotonin is one of those happy hormones that we have. So that's why if you have something, let's say you've been craving, like, there's a certain food you've been craving, maybe it's like slap chips or ikot or whatever it is, and you feel so good afterwards, it's because of that serotonin release. So I mean, there's a direct link between feeling good and your mood and food. So it's not something that we should ever neglect.
I always laugh at dietitians who say, you know, if you're feeling like maybe you want a lot of sugar, try having just 10 grapes. And I'm like, no, I don't want 10 grapes. I want sugar. I'm not confused. I'm not 5 years old. I actually know what I want. So it's hard, this keeping this diet thing. But what does it do to your body? That's the thing. I mean, if somebody was to sit and eat that way, say for the next, like for 6 weeks, and they're eating makwenya, they're eating the chips like slap chips, and they're eating your pups and everything else like that, your fast foods, and how do you think the body would react?
Listen, when we look at all of those kinds of foods, hey, my main challenge is the high intake of the unhealthy fats. Because when you're having a large amount of unhealthy fats and you're having food portions that are just very energy dense, so like high in calories, it actually catches up with you in the sense that you want to eat foods that are going to support your health. And I know, like, especially with a lot of young people who can just eat and eat and eat and they don't see anything changing, they still look exactly the same. There are changes that are happening internally in your body. When you have a lot of your highly processed foods and your takeaways, they actually increase the inflammation in your body, and they increase the amount of fat, which we call visceral fat. That's the fat that surrounds our organs.
Yeah.
Now, we all need visceral fat because our organs do need some kind of cushion and protection. But when you get to a certain level of visceral fat that's more than you need, which is usually over 10, when you do those kinds of measurements, those kind of body composition measurements, then that's when you know that you're going into the red area, where you're going to be significantly increasing your risk for different chronic conditions. And I mean, the whole thing with life is you want to continue to have a good quality of life. And when you're going to have a chronic condition where you constantly have to take medication and there's, you know, long-term effects, it really negatively affects your quality of life and your length of your life. So I think it's really important to think long-term. I mean, these kinds of things that affect your quality of life even go to dementia, you know, and we think, oh, I'll eat healthy when I'm old, or, you know, I'm not gaining weight now, or maybe I'll start next week, or whatever it is. But eventually, when we eat unhealthy for an extended time period, it really can affect our brain health, our gut health, our overall bodily function. So, yeah, it's just one of those things where we really need to try and change our mindset. Like, we can't think that we're going to eat ikota every day or slap chips every day and expect that we will be healthy.
Sure. I wish we could, but I get it.
I wish. Me too. I wish we could. I mean, that's why I say sometimes it helps to do an alternative, like, grill chips in the oven instead of deep frying them, or, you know, switch out the kind of bread that you're using and try and use lower fat meat options and stuff like that. But yeah, it's one of those things where there's some things you can't do every day.
Sure. Yeah, no. Let's. I also want to get calls. You know, I also want to hear from our listeners what they feel or what they think about this way of eating. Is it okay? Are you comfortable, or would you rather not? I don't know. Let's hear from you. 0891102000, or you can send us your voice notes on 0605842250. Yeah. Now, you know, there's also poor nutrition, just basic poor nutrition. And we didn't touch on that. The expectation is that if you are eating all these things, and in fact, the expectation is also that if you've gained weight, then, you know, your nutrition is good. Is it always the case?
Mm. I mean, sometimes there is a need for weight gain. For example, during pregnancy, you do need to have appropriate weight gain to support the baby's health. Mm. And I mean, during, you know, people who are going through puberty also need to gain an appropriate amount of weight because their body is, you know, going through so many changes, so it has higher energy needs. So yeah, there's cases where weight gain is definitely appropriate, and if someone has an eating disorder, for example, and they need to get an appropriate weight gain, a healthy weight gain, that's perfectly fine. But I mean, I think, you know, it depends how much the weight gain is and what weight are you gaining. Are you gaining more muscle mass? Are you like, or are you gaining more fat? Because sometimes what people will do is, you know, they'll start the whole exercise thing and they'll exercise a lot, which is great, and they're eating healthy and they feel so motivated because they feel like they, you know, doing the healthy lifestyle thing, and then they step on the scale and the weight has gone up. Now that number doesn't tell you how the weight has gone up. So I think that, you know, if you are making that concerted effort in terms of your lifestyle and exercise, weight gain can actually be muscle gain, and you want to have more lean body mass and lean muscle mass that you gain. So, yeah, I mean, depending on the circumstance and the kind of weight that's gained, it definitely can be a good thing.
But I'm talking about being healthy or unhealthy, actually, and you're still, you're overweight. I get it. You know how we are as Africans. We judge weight gain as the, ah, this one's doing well. Yeah.
Yes.
But does it always mean that, you know? I'm asking because you could be big in terms of weight gain, but not be healthy. And that's what I want us to touch on.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I mean, your body, when you look at your body composition, weight gain is not always going to be a good thing, because if you're gaining weight, and specifically you're gaining more body fat, mm-hmm. and you're gaining that visceral fat, that one around our organs,
yes,
then that's where I would be very concerned. Because as much as, yes, everyone's saying, you're doing well, my God, you're gaining weight, like, we love this for her, it becomes a challenge health-wise when it's now going to increase your risk for different chronic conditions. So, yeah, that's my main concern with weight gain, is when it's body fat that's being gained, it can increase your risk for so many different chronic conditions. And you don't want to have to live with any kind of chronic disease of lifestyle long-term. You want to try and prevent that. So, yeah, I definitely think excess body fat is a problem, and it's a problem that we really struggle with in South Africa. I mean, the levels of overweight and obesity have really continued to rise here. Women, I think it's about 68% of women in South Africa are overweight or obese. So that's very high. And
that's
I
a
think
huge number.
Lifestyle. It's a huge number. And, you know, we don't want that number to continue to go up. So, I mean, especially now it's Women's Month, I think it's really important for us as women to really start prioritizing our health. And you know, that starts from within. What are you putting into your body? What kind of strategies are you implementing in your life to be healthier in terms of managing stress and exercise, etc.?
All right, let's have a chat with Nico. Nico, hi.
How's my buzzer going?
Lovely. You?
Very, very lovely.
Great.
You know what? I'm in the mine industry in Witbank, and we do annual medicals.
Right.
And then about 2 months ago, it's like when I went for my medical, the doctor said to me, you know what, this is so amazing because, I mean, your weight has remained constant for the past 5 years. And then I was kind of shocked because I'm like a Chinese. I eat anything that walks. I mean, I don't have a diet. I'm not on a diet, but it was so amazing.
You're on a
it's
seafood
like my
diet.
Constant. And then I started asking myself, am I sick or what? Then it's like I've been checking my weight now and then I can see that it's like it goes up by 1 kg, then it drops by 2 kg. It's like it plays between very, very small numbers. So I wanted to ask if whether could this be gene related or what could it be that the weight be constant for the 5 years, and even if you're eating anything?
You're lucky. It could be a metabolism, but what do you say, Azzy?
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to genetics, they can definitely play a role in your ability to gain weight. So, yeah, that's one factor that we definitely can't ignore. So in your case where, you know, you can eat anything and everything and you're not seeing that number change, I think it's really important to still try and make sure that you're eating healthy. Because if you're going to eat everything and everything, but you're not going to be giving yourself those vitamins and minerals, those what we call the micronutrients, then you might be undernourished in your micronutrients. So all those vitamins and minerals are so important for you to get. It's not just that, you know, about the weight that you're at right now. I think regardless of whether your weight is able to fluctuate or not, it's important to make sure that you're eating enough, you know, fruit and veg and getting good quality healthy fats and protein and trying to still exercise, move your body at the same time. Because as much as the weight isn't moving, you still want to make sure that you're supporting how that weight is distributed. So that visceral fat that I spoke about around your organs is the one that you want to have the least of. So I really encourage you to, as much as, you know, the weight isn't really moving, still make sure that you're trying to add those healthy lifestyle practices.
Sure. Let's go to our voice notes. Take a voice note.
Good evening, Mapaseka. This is Lee Wei from Pretoria. I believe in this motto that you can eat everything that you want as a person, but only in moderation. In that way, you can lose and keep your weight. That is the practice that I've been doing the last 10 years of my life. I eat all everything that I desire, but all in moderation. Bye-bye.
Wow. All right. Thank you for sharing that. What do you say to that voice note?
Awesome. I love that because I think it goes, moderation is about how much are you having of that thing.
Yeah.
So yeah. I definitely agree. Moderation, it's one of those classic statements that dietitians make. Everything in moderation. Moderation is key to a healthy diet. Making sure that you're eating majority of a healthy diet and making room for enjoyment of your favorite foods is key, because having a life without those moments of enjoyment and the foods that you love, it's like, what would life be without them? So I definitely agree, moderation is key to a healthy diet and a healthy lifestyle and being able to maintain and sustain it.
Here's a question that I've got here. It says, good evening, Mamgwili. Very interesting topic about a healthy diet, which is very important in our times. My question is, how is it possible that a burger is classified as junk, but if you check all the ingredients that make the entire burger, they are known as healthy stuff? Maybe it's because they just gave it a wrong name, burger.
No, I completely understand the sentiment of that, you know. I think it's one of those misconceptions. You can, I mean, if you made a burger yourself at home, you know, grilled some chicken, or, you know, you had a burger patty and you made it yourself, you can still make it healthy. But remember that when it comes to, you know, all of the toppings on that burger, it won't necessarily make enough for a vegetable portion. It's usually one of the things that we call our free foods, where they're so low in energy that, you know, we don't classify them into like a large portion of veg, or like what we would say about 80 grams of a veg portion. So okay. I think in terms of the burger, where it can become unhealthy is the cooking method and the type of meat, the amount of fat that is in the meat of the burger. For example, if you take a beef burger, burger, and, you know, it's one of those beef burgers that is not made with a lean mince, then it's very easy for it to be high in your saturated fats. And saturated fats are those hard fats that we find in most of our animal products. So in that case, that's where the fat content of it can come up, along with whatever cheese is added. But I think, you know, when it comes to burgers, I honestly think that there's a way that you can make them to make them healthier. But if you want to enjoy a burger every now and then, I don't think that's a problem. Again, it goes back to moderation. I'm not saying you should now eat burgers every day because they're healthy. There's ways that you can make it enjoyable and still meet whatever nutritional goals you have. But if you want to have a takeaway burger every now and then on the odd occasion, it's not going to be the end of the world.
It's not going to kill you. At least we hope not.
It's not going to kill you.
At least we do, yeah. Like I said, at least we hope not. All right, let's go to our voicemail, voice notes one by one.
Mapaseka, good evening. Elodla, the truck driver. Esh, nkhuluma indaba ebalulekile, serious. Me as a truck driver, you know, I can stop anywhere, grab something to eat without even checking the ukuba healthy kwaloko kudla lokho, you understand? So
okay.
I'm just recovering from mama pies just because of the wrong food that I was eating. Hence today ipapa started ngisamile kancane. Funny enough, I don't even miss it because of the pain that I went through, you understand? So I'm taking the light food, like with more fiber. So I think our faith, they have to understand which umzimba wakho udinga ukunakekelwa, in fact udinga ukunakekelwa more than anything, so that you can uzokuthwala to a certain stage, yabona. But again, ikhuluma indaba ebalulekile kakhulu. The truck drivers, yeah, it's difficult because sometimes you find yourself in the middle of nowhere, you find it smaller than a shop that is still open, then you have to go in there and find something to eat. Unfortunately, most of those shops, yeah, isn't long as taller. Yeah, ngokwezo impilo, no, they are not that good. Thank you, Mapaseka.
All right, thank you so much. Next one.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, who's Mapaseka and your guest. Personally, when it comes to nutrition, I believe it's very important that we eat healthy, you know. Mind you, not all of us can afford healthy food, you know. But with the little or the affordability that we can have, all of us, I believe that we should actually look after our nutrition, really healthy, which is our veggies. Reduce on meat, a lot of meat, you know. Mokara kabeki, harareja chicken 5 times a week. You know, we should reduce that, you know, at least 2 times or 3 times in a week. Then compensate, you know. Veggies can be very nice, guys, you know. Veggies can be very nice. I personally, from a period of 2018 to 2020,
right,
I was eating a diet where it's mostly veggies, you know, and my energy levels were amazing. I was losing weight, I was exercising well, and I would never even get hungry as often as when I consumed a lot of meat, you know. So that's just my 2 cents.
Sure. Okay. Do you want to respond to any of that, Ali?
Yes, I think let's start with the first voice note, because I think there's a lot of people who have jobs that are so demanding that, you know, you don't get a chance to, or you don't get to choose what kind of food that you're eating, or you have very long hours. So it makes it very difficult to, you know, to make sure you're getting in the right nutrition. And I think that's where, you know, planning can be very helpful in that case. You know, if you know that you're going to be traveling from point A to B, making sure that you pack the kinds of healthy snacks that can last that trip. For example, things like your fruits that have peels on them, like banana and your nachi or any citrus fruits, where at least you know that as much as where you're going to be getting to small towns where they don't have access to more variety of healthy options, you have control over the snacks that you have to up the fiber in your diet, because we all should be having at least 25 to 35 grams of fiber on a daily basis. So that's something that I definitely encourage, you know, for anyone who is a shift worker, you have long shifts, focus on those snacks that you can control and add in that will add extra nutrients, and you'll find that you'll have a lot better bowel movement, so you'll be able to go better to the toilet, and you'll find that your energy levels are a lot better sustained as well. So even things like nuts and seeds are a great option. They're a bit higher in energy, but they really are a very good source of fiber and your healthy fats. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of different options out there, and I definitely encourage anyone who does do quite a bit of long shift work that they must do that, and focus on water as well. Make sure you're drinking enough water.
Is this type of eating what could lead to your high blood pressures and you know, high cholesterol and those type of things?
Yeah, so I mean, if you know that you constantly have to be buying takeaway meals or ready meals, a lot of these meals are very high in sodium or salt, and they're also very high in saturated fats, so those hard, unhealthy fats. So that's why, you know, you want to try and add in as much fiber as you can, because fiber is actually protective against your cholesterol, against your hypertension or high blood pressure, against just any kind of heart conditions and chronic diseases of lifestyle in general. So focusing on adding fiber into your diet is so important, because it also just helps in terms of supporting that gut health and making sure you're regular, going to the bathroom comfortably. So, yeah, I definitely say that focusing on fiber-rich foods, your fruits and vegetables, getting protein variety from, you know, beans and legumes, and also just getting in, you know, things like your nuts and seeds as well is something that I would recommend.
Sure. Yeah, I know. There's another message. It says, good food is very expensive and most of us are just poor. This is true, though. Good food is expensive.
Yeah, I definitely think just the whole chat of food, cost of living has gone up so much over the past couple of months. And, you know, food was already, you know, very much not very affordable. So now it's even worse. I think the main thing is just focusing on locally produced foods that are seasonal, and especially when it comes to your fruits and vegetables, is very important. A lot of people will bulk buy once a month, and bulk buy things like fruits and veg also once a month. Then if you can cut that down and support the local, you know, vendors in your area that sell it at a fraction of the price, you'll find that you'll be able to eat more variety and still be within your budget. So those vendors are a great way to actually, you know, not break the bank when it comes to eating healthy. And focusing on foods that, you know, expand in size when you cook them, like rice or your beans, like your lentils. When you cook them, they actually double in size. So that makes them so much more affordable. So those are the kinds of foods. And I mean, also frozen veg. Frozen veg, I think, get a very bad name. A lot of people think, you know, that they're unhealthy and that fresh is always better. But frozen can be just as nutritious. There's no big difference in the nutrition, you know, quality of fresh versus frozen veg. So you can definitely use frozen veg as an affordable way to consistently still provide extra veg and fiber and nutrients into your diet as well.
Okay, another question. Sponele from Ispingo says, I believe in alkaline water as is the best that can clean your body and flush the toxins. You see, I find that very interesting as well. South Africa has very good water, right? But those who sell water try and convince you that our water is not the greatest. What are your thoughts?
You know, when it comes to alkaline water, I think, you know, for me, it's what does the nutrition science say? You know, when it comes to water, water is quite basic when you look at the pH. So alkaline is something that makes it even more basic. So alkaline is usually upwards of 7 when you look at the pH scale. So water itself, I think it's fine to make sure that you're getting a consistent amount of water. You don't necessarily need to go and buy an alkaline water. Again, if this is something you truly believe in and you feel strongly about, you're allowed to make your own informed decision and go and buy that alkaline water if you really want to. But at the end of the day, it's not going to make a drastic difference. The things that will affect, you know, your body's acidity levels or is more, you know, if you look at eating highly processed foods versus eating foods like fruits and vegetables, which are high in your antioxidants and anti-inflammatories and really support your body. But in general, your body's able to maintain its own pH pretty well. So alkaline water isn't, from the nutrition science on my side that I understand, it's not something that is necessary.
Okay, it's not the be-all and end-all. I get that. Let's maybe try this voice note.
Good evening, Mapaseka and your guests. I like the subject of health eating. You know, if you look at animals, especially the wild animals, they eat naturally, they eat nature. So I admire vegetarian, I admire vegans, because most of their food is fresh veggies from the garden. That's why those guys, they don't just get sick, because what they eat, it is, they are eating hospital, they are eating surgery, they are eating treatment. So disease, when they come, they find them already.
Sure. Let's go to the next one.
Do you want to respond to anybody?
Hey, Mapaseka. Me, I just eat pap 3 times a day, and I don't gain weight, I don't lose weight. I'm slender, no mkaba, no mpandla, no what.
Sure. I always say I look forward to seeing people. I always wish I could follow people for a week and see exactly what you eat. Because what we say we eat and what we talk about eating all the time, remember those little things that you sneak in every now and again that we don't count, even when we do a food diary. So even when you put down to say, I'm going to eat, you know, eat clean and I'm going to put on a food diary. When you walk past someone and they have nuts and you pick them up and you don't put them in your food diary. You see a bit of Simba chips and you take 2 from somebody's pack and then you think, but it's not so bad. But these little things tend to add up in terms of how the body reacts to it. is what's too much? What's considered too much? Is it daily eating, you know, all your meals and it's all fast food, it's all salty, it's all fatty? Is that it? Is that what's considered bad? Or, you know, how do you gauge that?
I think, yeah, it definitely goes back to how much are you having. If you're having it on a daily basis, it's something that you're going to need to relook at. I think, you know, if you're someone who doesn't have time, or, you know, there's something that's holding you back from being able to, it's always good to relook at, okay, how can I work with the time that I have? Because I think that's one of the main excuses that people have, you know, when they're eating takeaway every day. They're like, I don't have time. You know, I have such a busy lifestyle. Like, how can I fit in eating healthy? But there's ways that you can sneak it in, you know. Let's say there's one night where you really, really can't have time to cook a whole meal. Go and get a full-made chicken, one of those rotisserie chickens that you can get at any of your grocery stores. And then you can get, you know, your veg, and you do a stir-fry. And just like that, you spend less time to make something that's still going to be, you know, still just as nutritious. And you're actually going to be saving money, because you're going to be able to keep reusing that chicken for the next day, maybe for a meal. For like a leftover meal. So I think, when it comes to the daily, you know, takeaways, it's not something that I recommend. I think if you are someone who needs more guidance, you should definitely look into that and see how can someone help you actually to reach your health goals, you know, whether that's going to a dietitian or whatever the case is, to give you the tools. And I mean, this isn't something that's exclusive, because when people think of dietitians, they think, oh, you know, this is going to be something that's a premium price, I can't afford it. Or people always think, oh, I don't need it. But sometimes that extra support really does help, you know, and there's dietitians in private and in public that can help give you those tools that you're going to be able to make healthier decisions for your lifestyle, whatever that is, whether it's fast paced or not. So I think, yeah, when it comes to the daily eating, you know, of the takeaways, it's not something that I would recommend. I think it's really good to just try and see how you can work around it if it's something that needs to be done. So looking at the healthier alternatives is something that would be very, very important. Otherwise, yeah, if you're going to be going just a deep-fried food and just, you know, soft chips and all of that, it's not something that is... something you should be maintaining long term. Even if you don't see the number moving on the scale, it doesn't mean that things aren't happening inside your body that could actually be detrimental to your health.
That for me is even scarier. You know, knowing that you could actually just be walking around and just drop dead. Or if you don't drop dead, you could collapse because the heart disease and stroke, because of how you've been eating, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, because of how you've been eating. We look at things like, you know, your teeth react so much to what you eat, don't they?
No, that's completely right. And that's why I think it's so important for people to not look at weight as the most accurate health parameter, because sometimes you'll look at someone and say, ah, this person is healthy because they look like they're slender or whatever the case is. But that's not true. You know, it's more what are they actually eating in their diet. And, you know, genetics is something you mentioned previously that affects, you know, how people's bodies present themselves. But, yeah, I think also when it comes to just teeth and bone health and all of that, like, it all goes back to lifestyle, you know, making sure you're getting in all those vitamins and minerals you need. So they're so important to make sure you have healthy teeth, healthy bones, healthy skin, healthy organs, so that you reduce your risk of all the different chronic conditions, like, that we mentioned.
All these chronic conditions, guys, these things just need to get away from us, you know? But we just need to find a way of being comfortable with what we eat and eat it well. Why is it that, you know, the older people, I'm talking to you, our moms, our grandparents, they were not necessarily huge and they just ate whatever. I mean, they were not fast food people, of course, but they were not necessarily healthy eaters either.
And, you know, that's why it's so important for us to, you know, not be in the same position that they are. The crucial years to actually, you know, intervene in your life and your health is now while you're still young, because that actually is what will help be more protective of you not having these conditions as you get to older ages. And I mean, something even I will always, always mention is just that just because you can't see what's happening doesn't mean it isn't happening.
True.
So just always make sure that you're doing what you can within your control to be healthy. If you can even just get in one veg portion at lunch and two veg portions at dinner, which is about a half a cup of your cooked veg or one cup of raw, non-starchy veg, that you'll be already adding so many more nutrients to your body, you know, and just trying to eat at least 2 to 3 fruits a day and focusing more on your brown starches or your high-fiber starches. So, like, just making sure that you're adding that nutrients to your diet. And I think the chat about, you know, protein sources, protein variety is so important. And in South Africa, we love meat. We love meat. So it's really important for us to also just get in some of those beans and legumes, because they're a lot more protective against those different chronic conditions, because they're low in fat and they're high in fiber and different vitamins and minerals. So, yeah, I think, honestly, we really just need to stop making the small changes. And it's really going to help us in the long term so that we don't find ourselves in the same position as our parents.
Sure. Let's close it off with a voice note.
Hi, Osma Paseka. Good evening. Hey, now these days, Batum, I enjoy brown pap, ne, mabele,
yo, yum,
and soya mince. Yo, I love soya mince. I love soya mince. And then, yo, I love soya mince. I can eat it like every day. But ki edeka some vegetable, spinach or cabbage. I enjoy it. So I like to know, is it good or what?
What do you say? Is soya mince good for you?
Soya mince is one of those, you know, the soy is one of your plant-based protein sources. So it's definitely 100% fine to have soya. Of course, the soya mince packs usually have quite a bit of added salt. So I would always recommend that you don't add any extra salt and try and add as many flavorings as possible. I can hear there's already veg that's added in there, like spinach and, you know, any kind of veg that you can add in for extra fiber will always be great. And I mean, I think amabele porridge is something that people think is unhealthy. It's one of the brown starches that I always recommend, you know.
It's yum.
If you want to see, okay, you enjoy having baba or any kind of porridge, but you're trying to find a healthy alternative, mabele is a great option. It's got plenty of different vitamins and minerals, iron, zinc, magnesium, potassium. It's got, you know, it's a source of fiber. It's one of the high fiber options. So, yeah, I'm all for both of those options. You're doing great. Continue to add those in. Not a problem. It's great for your health.
Interesting. Thank you so much for answering all these questions. Very important that we get this, so that when we sit down and we say, who wants to go to the Zonke Bonke side, they do so. And then we also say, okay, this is where you are, and Azzy will then help you out and see how you're doing. But if you want to have your alkaline diet, you know exactly how to eat. And if you're interested in your banting, you know exactly how to eat that. I'm hoping that next week we can look at something like a vegan diet, a completely vegan diet, and then we can take it from there. But Azzy, such a pleasure having you on the show. That's Azzy Boye, registered dietitian. It's such a pleasure, hey?
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
All right, and her website, if you're interested in contacting her, www.healthwithazzy.com. Healthwithazzy.com. Make sure you contact her there. News time now. Evelyn is on standby. Evelyn Tongwane is on standby for the news. And after that, Just Ice with a Mino Mino on the wireless. We'll be back again tomorrow evening. Have yourself a beautiful evening.
Mapaseka Mokwele on Radio 2000. Catch the Radio 2000 podcast on radio2000.co.za.